to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Henda, you're now entering a space for Black history. Welcome to Black excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur.
We got 107 views!
Welcome to episode of this podcast and chill.
We are back.
Is it like a standard for you to greet it?
We got a special announcement to make today, 7th of November, 2020. Give it up for the one and only Saul Penuka.
So the next milestone, Saul, are you ready for this?
We're trying to fill up Sunbet Arena in Pretoria for our 1 million subscribers event.
1 million?
1 million.
Hey, but I'm scared about this one, Saul.
That's right, we're cutting down to the road to 1 million. 30th of July, Saul Penuka.
Woo! It's on, bro.
Are you joining us at Sunbet Arena, Verita?
Has the day changed?
Yeah.
Oh, because I saw that you guys are suffering.
Yeah, we're suffering, eh?
But I like that you guys were honest about it. Because I also was told last week, like, I have a show in East London. I was told,
Ngapa
people are like, Pierretta, we love you. I'm like, love me by buying tickets, please.
There's something weird going on, bro. Events aren't selling as much, bro. Something
are they being as well organized prior? For example, your event or the one they booked you for, was it, you know?
No, you've got a point. I think for me as an artist, I think we're also transitioning. We're in a period where artists are almost becoming promoters. Especially certain types of artists, you know. So it's a very tricky one because we're not really used to like promoting our own shows.
Oh, it's self-staged.
The one in East London is self-staged. Oh. But I'm getting over it. I mean, with Gabeja 2 weeks back, it was sold out. People had to like be turned away from the show. Which is like, now I know next time, bigger venue, go harder. So yeah.
What's the biggest event you've ever performed at?
Oh my goodness, what is the biggest event I've ever performed at? I'm trying to think. It has to be the festivals, the Buyelekhaya, the Durban Jazz Festival. It has to be, you know, the big jazz festivals around
the
country.
You've never done the Mandela ones, the 46664 one?
No, I'm not that old.
No, man, didn't they have the myth even after they passed away? I'm sure they had some Mandela.
No, not yet.
It's not that old.
Anyway, hello, Marimini, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome our friend of the show. Her name is Guguletu Khumalo, a.k.a. Burita. I don't know, have we adopted you? Do we announce you as one of the greatest vocalists to come out of SA, or is it Zim? Like, have we adopted you or not?
So it is a Zim SA situation because I started my career in East London. My music journey started there. If you hear someone that I grew up with from Bulawayo saying I was singing,
they're lying.
I sang a little bit in the choir, but my journey has been a bit of both. South Africa has contributed immensely to my journey. My ancestry, I mean, Makumalo, Mamtungwa, Zilikazi, Mashobane. So my ancestry is, you know, South Africa.
Do they give you love when you go back to Zim?
To Zim. Zim is home. They do give me love. They used to give me flack about singing in Xhosa and everything. But I have songs in Ndebele as well, which is my home language. And Ndebele and Xhosa and Zulu, Nesiswati, it's all Nguni languages. So sometimes they are theater, sometimes Ngiyakhuluma. Confuses people a bit, but...
You know, I was telling you, it's so weird because I used to go to a house all the time to... hey, why are you giving me that look? to go meet up with your ex-husband, right?
Yeah.
Oh. And I realized that we actually never spoke. Because Rose is like, hi, and then I'd speak to Note, and then that was that. But like, we've actually never spoke, you and I.
Yeah, you would come over, but you, that was like business meetings, right?
Yeah.
So I would possibly be doing other things as well.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that here you are, right?
Yeah.
You've worked so hard in your career to be where you are.
Yeah.
But now, because of your ex-husband, everybody just wants to talk about him. Everybody sees you as Nota's ex-wife. Isn't that weird?
When you've been around.
You know what I mean?
You
know what I mean?
You know what it is? The beautiful thing about it is at the heart and at the core, I'm a musician. Mm. And those people that know, like when you hear Thando Lwethu, when you hear the music, you don't think of other things. And I think up until this point, I'm someone who really does not like the public eye. I am generally quite shy. Like it's even evident. Even if you look at my pictures, even when I have to like do a video, I am generally a shy person. So I think I have never really liked to be out there in the spotlight. And I didn't notice when I think... So I didn't notice that I had married someone who loved the spotlight.
It only came out later.
So a lot of things are weird.
Yeah. How's the single life now? How are we doing?
It's nice.
Is it nice?
Hey, Yamuza, they're nice.
How Perita got a groove back?
Hey, Yamuza, they're nice. Good,
You know what the thing is, ne? And it has nothing to do with anyone, Shame. It has nothing to do with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
My ex-husband, I loved him. Yeah. I never want it to be, look like, you know, things change, people change, but there people was a time. Mm. I'm sure when you came to our home, I was kotizaring there.
Oh, fucked up. Fucked up. You were giving me Yebo Mama vibes.
Have you had her food?
No.
No, but you know, I was legit married, guys. And you must understand that people that get married, ne, are people that love to be married. Like, there's a thing about where you just like, you're a one person kind of person, you know? So, but now I think I also realize that even my decisions, you know, like I realized that I hadn't come fully into myself when I committed to be with somebody for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And now I'm realizing that, you know, I could have made a different decision. I could have made a better decision, or maybe the timing of it, you know, like you come back and you realize that I can't be alone and it's so much more peaceful.
When was the last time you were alone?
When was the last time I was alone?
Mm.
How?
In terms of before you got married now, how long
did I actually didn't date for like a year and 3 months before I met my ex-husband.
Yes.
And like when I met him, he reminded me of my dad.
Oh, like, okay.
He reminded me, we sat down, he just had this aura that reminded me of my father. And it's true when they say you marry like a man that reminds you of your dad.
100%. Yeah. So you're saying you were only single for a year.
Yeah.
And then you met him what year did you meet him?
We had like been, you know, in music you bump into people. So we had bumped into each other a couple of times. And I think we had even worked on like a collaboration for an artist he was working with at the time. But we met, I think, late 2018. That's when we started communicating a bit more. 2018. Okay. But even then, I think, honestly, when we first met, we were like, you know, he was consulting for me. Like,
okay.
On beginning a release. But, you know, the consulting quickly went...
To couch casting.
I don't know. No. No, it wasn't. No. I. And why did I come here?
To be honest,
like, to be honest, I legit fell for him. Like, as a person. Like, there was a heart in him that I saw. There were things I saw. And you must understand, I think a lot of people, you knew him a long time back.
Yeah.
You will also say, like...
Yeah.
You know, there's a different person, I think, that has emerged the past 2 years.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that person, I honestly didn't know. I knew someone who, when we first met, we were both like working on ourselves.
Yeah.
But we were both like, we were passionate about the same things. Mm. I think that's what
music,
drew me to him.
100%, yeah.
Passionate about music. You know, there were just other things that we were just, we saw a lot, you know, on a similar perspective.
So the reason why I was asking you what year was that, because being single in 2018 and being single now in 2023 is two different worlds, bro. It's crazy right now, bro, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough being single out there. The streets are cold, dog.
Why is it tougher now than it was in 2018?
Because everybody's just fucking around, dog. Nobody wants to be with one person anymore. Am I lying?
Yeah, that's why I'm enjoying the single life.
Mm.
Not being with one person. Nothing wrong with that. It's empowering.
No, the only thing let me tell you what I had to get over, right?
Yeah.
When I first became single, oh my goodness, I'm going to get into a lot of trouble. When you become single, there are people that want you that are already in relationships.
That's
the problem.
Right.
That is the problem. Like, and that was the thing where I had to just draw a line for myself and be like, I don't want to be with someone. I don't want to be with someone who's been with somebody else or who is like married. And that thing, you have to just block people because people are constantly coming at you because they can see that, oh.
Yeah. And then how are your DMs? Are people sliding in your DMs?
My DMs are quiet.
Rita, please.
Tinder, do you do the Tinder thing?
No.
Oh, so where are you meeting
I'm
these guys then?
Traditional. I'm not trying to meet people.
Yeah.
I'm working. I'm in the studio. I am rehearsing. I am putting on shows. I've got music coming out. I'm not trying to do that right now.
This song that you got out now, what's that song about? What's it called?
So the song is called Peace of Mind.
Peace of Mind. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
What's it about?
So the song is really about me first. I think the first thing that I went through, you must understand that like when I left my marriage, I left because my ex-husband was showing a certain level of rage and anger that I've never experienced before.
Mm.
I remember the last incident of rage that happened, that's when I called a therapist and the therapist was like, this is dangerous. Someone's going to die in this house. So for me, it's like you go from being, and it was like our first year of marriage where I started to see things and the first thing you think is begezela, like nyambe.
Yeah.
No, of course. Like, that's what you guys are taught.
You know, that's what we're taught as women.
Doing. Every week we're always saying, hey, Peter Strong.
And you're like, the strongest woman in the at some point. We'll give you a medal. We should have brought it.
And the thing is, I really was trying because at some point I kind of took a break from working and I was like, okay, let me see what's happening in my household. And also the thing is, it's also lockdown. You know,
didn't you get married during lockdown?
I got married during lockdown. So it's man.
And that's how the song Peace of Mind. So
Peace of Mind is really about me getting to a point of getting my peace back and hoping that my ex-husband also finds peace.
Oh yeah.
Because I do not think that he's at peace.
No.
Whatever is going on and everything. You know, it's nice to speculate from the outside. Sometimes I look at speculations, but the truth of the matter is when I left, he wasn't at peace.
Mm.
And you know, when you love someone and you've loved them before, you always have love for them.
Mm.
And for me, I desire peace, you know, for him. And also just, I think I also got to realize in the last year that I don't think that that was the right person for me.
Huh.
My the kind of person I am. And I don't think maybe I was the right person for him as well. You know, I think maybe, you know, like, I think sometimes you get together in a relationship and it's nice, then you don't realize that, oh, actually, there's a certain level of brokenness that maybe we both haven't addressed.
Sure.
Then, you know, and it shows up in different
creeps
ways.
Up. Yeah, yeah. Because my thing is, when I heard that you guys are getting a divorce, I started getting worried for him. Because I know, like, you were always there for him and he'd really, like, listen to you. So when I heard that you were leaving him, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is bad.
He was his corner. That
Because a lot of people left him. A lot of people in the industry.
And I think that's the problem. I think when you're with someone and people say to you, he only listens to you. That I didn't know. Now I didn't know red flags before because I didn't date a lot of people before, right? So I now know that, like, when you're in someone's life and people are so happy that you're in that person's life, that means that there's something going on that you're not privy to.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, so for me, it's like, I remember last year realizing at some point, I was like, why am I the only person that is now in this person's life? And I asked myself, is there something wrong with me? What am I doing wrong, you know? Am I not a supportive partner? Then I realized, I mean, we went to, you know, there was a time we went to therapy and then there were other things that popped up. And obviously, therapy is like a private thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then I was willing to support my then husband through the process of, okay, I remember at some point there was like, okay, you've got anger management issues. Mm. I will support you through that. But now it gets tricky when I speak to you and I say, hey, how you're dealing with issues is now affecting my career and my brand. And I've worked so hard to build this.
And I
remember the response from him being like, if you haven't worked hard enough to be able to say whatever you want, whenever you want, that's not my problem. Oh. That's when things, it's like, okay, I'm supporting you so much.
Yeah.
But when for you, it's like, you know, then it becomes, that's where the term, I think, narcissism comes from.
Yes.
That's when you don't care about somebody else, somebody else just has to rock with your music.
Who's staring?
You know, somebody else has to be okay with you today being so angry and shouting and screaming. The next day, you're like the nicest human being.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. I think that's where the challenge is.
Isn't that bipolar? That sounds like bipolar.
I can't diagnose. I actually, you know, come from a family where I have a family member that is bipolar. You actually get diagnosed for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't necessarily, when you see someone having anger outbursts and things like that, you can't diagnose that. You can't say it's bipolar. Even narcissism, you can't say, because we're living in a narcissistic society. But now I will say that when I found out that sometimes someone who is going through a period where they are constantly angry, they are constantly shouting and things like that, they don't know that they are being abusive to the people that they love. When you go out there and you disclose information about your loved ones or your wife or things like that, that they have not allowed you to disclose, you're breaching that trust. That is abusiveness. You can look at it and say, but now I'm being called an abuser, because that is abusive behavior.
Did it ever get physical though?
No.
Okay.
No. It didn't. And I honestly to this day don't believe that he's done the stuff he's done to me because he wanted to. I think it's someone that just really needs to work on themselves. Mm-hmm. At some point we had discussed him completely being off social media.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, if you get off social media completely, work on yourself, because you have so much to contribute, right, to society and to the industry even. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, you know, he didn't make me, but there was a time in my career, like any other partner, where he was supportive, where I would say, baby, I'm doing this gig and this gig and this gig. You're like, oh, you're in Durban. Okay, why don't you also go to
boom, boom, boom,
place? Yeah. But he didn't, you know, he never managed me. I always, even now, I have my own team. I've always been, when I went indie, I always took that journey upon myself. But when you've got a partner that you can, you know, lean on.
Yes.
You know, you lean on your partner, you get support from your partner.
Of course.
But now it shouldn't be that just because there was a time he was supportive as a partner, now he wants to destroy everything that I ever made.
Or like he made you or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now he, you know, so that.
Does he own your music though?
No. So there are songs that we wrote together. There's an album. Okay. When I did Songs in the Key of Love, he was very instrumental in that album. And I'll forever be grateful for that. We did that album in June and lockdown was going to be in March. I remember, you know, he's someone who is very in tune. He was able to say, baby, I think that this COVID thing is going to close and I know you want to make an album. And why don't we just try and make your album before it happens? And he decided, he even helped me like pick the people I worked with.
Nice.
Drove us to Cape Town, the biggest act of love. We got to Cape Town, worked for a week. There's even like vlogs about it where he was the most, he was the most supporting partner and I was the most appreciative of it. I thanked him. And it's only, even when we were doing like there are songs that he contributed. You know, like when you're in a writing camp, there is like a producer. And
yes, yes.
And he is a writer. He's written songs. So there are songs where like yours, where sometimes I'll play him demos. Sometimes some of the songs I have, it's like it's a chorus and a verse and I'll play that for him. And he will like, oh, wow, this is beautiful. He loves music. I love music. So that's what connected us. You know, he'll come up with stuff or, and for that, he's credited for that. He also is on the splits of that work.
Split sheets, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what
you
it
know,
is.
Like the man that you describe and saying he reminded you of your father, he had a great heart and all, to the guy we know now, two different people.
Yeah.
What do you think was the catalyst or cause of his change in behavior?
I won't know. I won't know what it was. I think that, I think he's worked, I'm not making excuses for him because I have not, by the way, spoken to this man in a very long time. I don't know what's going on in his...
For real? You guys don't talk?
No.
Like you blocked him everywhere?
No, we don't.
Has he signed the final split sheet? That divorce decree. That divorce decree. That's the ultimate split sheet.
That split sheet we're still working on. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, you know?
Yeah, but you were still saying about like his changed behavior. Who do you think
so
stems from?
So I think, you know, and I also I want to be very clear. I'm not making excuses for abusive behavior, but there are so many women that have reached out to me that have been in similar positions.
For real?
Yeah.
Sure.
That have, there are so many people that are going through what I'm going through, but like in a certain community setting. So my thinking around it is it's basically maybe carrying resentment for a long period of time, you know? You know, like I watched how breaking up with people that he worked with for a long time broke him. I think I watched that. I tried to be supportive to like, let's go to therapy, let's work through this. But I think that when he started getting the spotlight, I think which some of the spotlight was you guys.
He's responsible, yeah.
You know? Which I understand. No,
created all of this.
Which I understand where it comes from because he's someone that is knowledgeable.
Yeah, very.
Right? But also we must, you know, like we must also, when someone has knowledge about things, right, it doesn't mean that they're always going to be right.
Yeah.
So I think that was the case even at the beginning. And also breaching people's confidentiality and private.
Yeah.
You know the thing that, hey, guys. Like, there are so many times where you watch someone breaking that confidentiality. The whole reason of in this business, we're in the business of confidentiality.
100%.
And I think that he broke a lot of people's trust, you know. And I think the more he did it, the more he got attention for it.
Yeah.
The more he really enjoyed that attention.
Yeah.
I don't know what it feeds in him.
Yeah.
But it got to a point whereby even I, the person that was like the closest to him, because me, at some point we would have conversations and we would have the kindest conversations. We would go on holiday together and have a really great time. Somewhere in there, there's a man I once loved, you know. But as to what's happening in his life now, that's why I'm always like, for me, I wish him peace and I hope that whatever he's going
peace
through,
of mind.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he is able to emerge from it. My advice is to take time completely off and come back and live his purpose and contribute. And one of the reasons I left for me was I had to look at myself and like, what's my purpose in life? Is it tied to this person? It doesn't look like it is because it looks like we're going different directions and it's now starting to affect me emotionally. It's now starting to affect, you know, my work, the work that I'm here to do. I believe each person has purpose work that they are here to do. And I'm hoping and believing that he will in somehow come into his purpose work.
Yeah, man. You nailed it. I think I've said this on the show before. It's what they call fame. It's a drug, man. And you can't really dictate or like tell how someone's going to react from fame until it happens. And also staying in the comments too long, you know, this is a product of such things, you know, but fame is a bad thing, man. And this is what we're seeing. I think it's fame.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like she said, you know, when you're going to say something shocking because Meg told me this in confidence, or I know this about our business, and then you say it, the next podcast wants to have you on, whose beans are you going to spill?
Now you got to keep saying
now you got to keep being the gift that keeps giving. And you're fucking up relationships in doing so, you know?
And yeah. And I mean, even, you know, the people that love him the most are the people that, for me, have suffered the most from it. Mm. So I hope, I want to move on from this, to be honest. And like, to all other podcasters, I am not taking any podcast interviews about this.
Yeah,
I just felt like if I'm going to talk about this, I went to Kaya because I felt like it was a safe space. And sure, I feel like you guys also have been a part of this. And also, I just saw how much love he had for the Chillers community. Like, I didn't know what the Chillers were. What are you doing?
From the beginning.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, if there's two people that I'm going to go to, it's these two platforms. Outside of that, for me, it's all about the music.
Shout out, man. We got some questions from the Chillers, by the way.
Okay, Chillers. Here you go.
Barita, your background in life and music. Harishi Master Isikosa, and amazingly fused that in her music as she's originally from the great Zimbabwe.
Ooh, wow. So, like I said earlier, Isixhosa, isiNdebele, isiSwati, isiZulu, it's all Nguni languages.
Oh, yeah. Nguni, yes.
So they are similar. I think what fascinates me about the Xhosa language is it's a very expressive language. And like, there are some things like iNdebele, if you say hambokeza, it means like, go and take a shower. But in Xhosa, sukeza wena, it means sunkhela kakubi. Like, you know what I mean? So I find this course are very expressive. I studied in Walter Sisulu University in East London. And I think that's where my music career started as well. When I was learning words like Nokia Jambo, which means a flower.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Then I wrote a song called Nokia Jambo in my first album. I started doing my first performances in the Eastern Cape, singing to closer crowds. Mm. So, and as I was learning the language.
Is this during the Zahara days?
This is 2011, 2012, 2013.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
That's a while back. You've been around, eh?
I've been, yeah.
Damn, Barita. Yeah. Here we go. What challenge did you face when you moved to SA?
Okay. So, I think for me, to be honest, because the language I speak assimilates with isiNdebele and isiXhosa, and I also, I did have pretty privilege.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out to you for being honest. That's my time, which we worked hard. Jay, Umuntu knows very well. Thank you for your honesty.
Pretty privileged helped me. I think I've struggled maybe in terms of like visas. That's where I've struggled because, you know, there isn't an entertainment visa. I've contributed greatly with my music to South Africa, and I will continue to contribute. But I also understand, you know, like immigration is a difficult thing.
Yeah.
It's a difficult department altogether. So
you don't have an AC... SA ID?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, come on. You've contributed so much.
I don't.
So wait, so what do you have then?
So I basically, you know, at the moment, like, I'm a visitor in this country.
You kidding?
Are you on a visiting permit?
Yeah.
And you have to renew like every?
Yeah, every 90 days I have to.
No.
Not a work permit? Why can't you get a work
because,
permit?
Because, so when I tried applying for a work permit, you have to prove that you've got an employer. I'm self-employed.
I'm an artist.
And, you know, since 2016, they were saying there's going to be an entertainment visa. To this day, there isn't. It hasn't been put into effect.
Mm.
Yeah.
So let's say your marriage was still, you know, a thing. Then how long into that marriage could you qualify for permanent residence?
So, so I was in the process of applying for a spousal permit, but I didn't get married. Because
for
because that's been the speculation as well, and I'm like, there was a moment where I can live in Zim and still come here to work and go back to Zim. You know what I mean? But I think the issue is there isn't a designated entertainment visa. In other countries, they are. I'm going to Germany. My next single is a European single.
Okay.
So I'm going to Germany. My visa for Germany, for going there to work as a musician, was approved within 24 hours.
Wow. How long is it?
So I'm going there now at least for 3 months.
Right,
but they have an artist visa. So like, if I need to stay longer, they have provision within that. But I guess, you know, like, I think with South Africa, it's the immigration department has quite a lot going on. So.
And then New Zealand, because you stayed in New Zealand for a while, no?
Yeah, so when I was a teenager, my parents work in New Zealand. They're dairy farmers there, so.
So you grew up soft.
Hey, they're milking it. Eh?
So, but this is, you know, that's the thing.
Drop it.
Okay, wow. So I think there's always a misconception that I grew up soft. Everyone says it.
Yeah, you did.
My parents are dairy farm. You're a cheese girl.
I'm in New Zealand.
Right, a proper cheese girl. I think, you know, I was raised by my grandmother. So I have that thing of umtanaka gogo who's spoiled. But I come from a middle class. My parents were teachers. They went, going to New Zealand to dairy farm sounds very bougie, yeah, but it's not. It's like living in the farms. I bought my first guitar from milking cows.
Wow.
Actually, need to find you guys a picture.
No, man. God, so her life was too smooth, dog. You know, the parents are New Zealand.
Yeah.
She's got pretty privilege. She can sing.
She sang
all
day.
You know what I mean? And then God was like, here's Nota.
No, guys. There's also a dark side of being pretty, eh? There is.
It's a bit of trouble.
But there is a dark side of pretty privilege. Even when you're really talented at what you do, it's taken a long time for people to acknowledge my talent.
Oh,
I think, you know, but also it's like, it's not about acknowledging it. You know, I think I've constantly proven myself by continuously doing what I love and doing it well. But it sometimes people are like, I own the manga, but you know, I think now I'm such a believer in life. You work with what you have, what God gives you, you work with. I think for me, my real name is Kukuletu, which means precious. I'm big on what names mean. So I do understand that, like, you know, God was like, Nalikanda.
You know those eggs with the brown spots on them? You don't even know those eggs. Eggs come in different shapes. Some are just super white. Some are just brown. Some are all these dark spots. That's the one you had.
I give up on you.
And the name Berita, that's your mother's, right?
Berita is my mother's name, yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means truthful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I chose the name because I think at the time, I remember with my first label, they're like, Gugu, you're going to call yourself Gugu and sing. But which I think is fine. You can still be Gugule too.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, since now I have a single coming in Germany and France, they'll call me Juju L'Etoile.
Hey!
Juju L'Etoile! So if this, you know, if this Berita, if I see, because now when I type my name, there's all this nonsense on Google. Yeah. So you never know. Maybe I should release a Juju L'Etoile.
Oh, I like
that's
it.
More French than German. German's a rough, man.
But it sounds nice, man.
It does, though.
Oh, I like that.
And you said you're single. It's a European single. What does that mean? You're just dropping it in Europe or you sing in
so
English?
That's a good question, because now when you drop music, it obviously drops everywhere.
Yeah.
But so I've just done a partnership with a German label and I've got management in Germany.
Oh, shout out. Amazing.
The plan, you know, my goal was always South Africa, then Europe. Mm. So, and for a long time, you know, I was told, oh no, but your stuff is not African enough.
Yeah.
That's what I was told for a long time. Until 2 years ago where I was told, actually, you know, this company started talking to me. They're like, we've marketed soul music in Europe and we think you can break in Europe. Mm. So it's my first European single because it's the single that my target, like, how can I put this? Because now, you know, any song can break anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But I would say for me, what's important with this is we are going to put marketing promo in Germany and France.
Mm.
And in South Africa as well, which is going to be the first time because all this time I've just been making work that only gets marketed in South Africa.
And aren't you scared because, like, now Amapiano's on the rise, especially, like, overseas. So do you think there's still room for your type of music that you make that side?
I'm not scared. I'm excited, actually. Yeah. I think, and shout out to all, you know, the youngsters.
Hey, they're killing me.
Yeah.
Hey, they're coming with fire. Pinduka.
They are. I think for me, what I've seen is that in this season, I call this year for me the year of open spaces and open sounds. So okay. I've been experimenting. I've gone to studio to work with Amapiano producers. I've also been working with Afrobeats producers. Dope. I've also been working in the Afro Soul stuff as well. Yeah. I've also just been in studio with just my guitar. Some of my songs start with just me, like Ngqeli Kiss. It's just me and my guitar. Then everything else gets added. So even with Peace of Mind, my first single, it's actually with Abby Doza.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And hey, did you know Abby Doza fired that girl, that manager of his?
Which
after
one?
After the Amapiano rap?
I don't know. Guys,
oh, wow. She got fired. Yeah. For misrepresenting him. or what's it called, Gonja? For disrepute, yeah?
Yeah, I heard about it now, bro.
You know the thing is, we are brands now, right? I also faced a similar challenge where I was like, okay, if Nando's was married to someone who is putting their brand in
disrepute,
would you keep that person around? No, unfortunately, that's one of the challenges I've also
But she was
face.
Representing herself. She came on the show just being herself.
But she said some wild things that then take away the credibility, especially of the brands that she handles. Sadly, she did say initially that she's here, there on her own accord, representing herself as an individual. But people cannot make that separation.
Have you ever had to fire some managers?
So I haven't. I've had seasons where it's time to move on from one manager to the next.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, with my first management as well, like, hey, my first contract, like it was a recording contract. It had one line that said, you will be managed, da 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 da, da, and they'll take this much. And I remember after my first paycheck that I got, I was like,
Conan Dorf, yeah.
Management. So and then I, you know, was managed by an Eastern Cape-based management company. And then there came a time where, like, my vision is bigger than just one place. It was time to move. And then after that, I went and worked with a bigger management company. And that was great, but it was costly. Working with sometimes bigger companies, there's bigger costs involved. Didn't work for my brand. And then after that, I decided to go indie and actually learn the business from the ground up. Hired someone in-house. That also had its own challenges because now you are like the boss. You have to say what happens. And that can get, you know, a bit difficult for artists. Especially for artists like, I think, the older artists like us that started a long time ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like when Tandolotu first came out, I didn't even have to post a picture. I didn't have to.
Or dance challenge.
Dance challenge, you know. Mm. But now also it's a great time. So in this season, for example, when it comes to South Africa, I've got a team. I'm kind of like managing with the team what we do. But also like when I go to Europe, I was there for the first time last year and I was like, there's a difference.
Wow.
European managers, like they treat you like the artist that you are. And I'm looking forward to a time in South Africa where we can get South African managers, black managers, abantu bethu that know how to manage an artist.
Ah, we're far from that. They just want to drink the rider, man. That's what they pay for.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. How did she write Thando Lwethu? And what was the reaction when the song blew up?
So Thando Lwethu, I wrote with a friend of mine called Busisiwe, Alicia Smith. She's from Pumlane in East London. And the song initially, when it first came out, when we first worked on it, I had first the hook of, you know, why you're pulling his yoyam. At the time, I had never even been heartbroken, to be honest. It was more of her story. We met, I used to do like soul clap sessions where I would go and perform. And at the time, Bengisahlale Rez, Eskolen, and at 10 o'clock, the Rez would close. So every time I would need to look for a place to sleep. So whenever I went to a gig, I would always look for a female and be like, yo, where are you staying? Can I, you know, crash there for the night? And this one time I met Busisiwe. And that night we wrote Thando Lwethu.
Did you finish your course? Because hey, you were busy with this music thing.
Oh, yes, darling. And I graduated cum laude.
After being away and all that transpired in her marriage, how did she let go and move on to be a better her, happier version of herself mentally and emotionally?
Sure. Guys, I also learned that I was toxic, okay?
You were toxic?
Yeah.
You're a sweetheart, Perita.
No, but
not
like,
a chance.
I'm telling you. So, I don't know how this is going to be.
Passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressiveness.
Nah.
Passive-aggressiveness can be toxic.
Ah, those are the worst.
Yeah, because you, like, it takes me a long time to reach Nkatele.
Yes.
But once Nkatele, I think I've experienced this in the relationships that I've come out of. People don't believe when I leave them.
They don't believe that she left.
She left me. Because for the longest time, I'm like taking whatever you're doing. And I'm like,
I think it's like that with all women.
A lot
when
of ladies.
When they leave, they leave.
Yeah. And it's going to hit you like a train.
Yeah. But now I've learned you need to express your needs. You need to say who you are, you know, and, you know, like, I think for me, the healing journey started from I went home. I went to my grandmother, I went to my family, you know, because I was facing an extreme situation where someone is harassing my family, my parents.
He's harassing your family?
My parents, my siblings, my friends.
Wait, when you mean harassing them, what's he doing? Is he calling them, blowing up their phones?
So, I think when I left them, so initially when I left my marriage, right, I said to him, listen, I think I need space and I need you to think about the things that are happening because this is not what I
signed up for
in our marriage, right? I was hoping that he was going to take time and reflect and, you know, come back to me and say, this is how we can move forward.
Gotcha.
But what happened is that the moment I left, he kind of, I think he didn't take that well. So, you know, a lot of things happened where...
But now you didn't leave, like, she left. She said she's going to get a pillowcase or something.
No, but you know...
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
No, guys, no. When you've experienced living with someone who has anger, who you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
When you say you're going to leave. The night before I'd say that I was leaving, there was a teddy bear. He had taken that teddy bear and ripped it apart.
Whoa.
So, like... When that has happened...
Yeah, you can't be honest.
And I'm not saying this because I'm saying things about him, but there are so many people that are in relationships that can turn physically abusive or emotionally abusive. It doesn't just start like that. If someone breaks something in front... If someone breaks something in front of you or shows a behavior or treats people around you in a way that undermines people, then you have to look closer into that person.
So when that happened, the teddy bear stuff, who do you call? Like, who do you tell? Aren't you shocked?
So that's when I was like, you know, I can't stay. That's where when I'm telling my therapist is like, someone's going to die in this house. Yeah. Rather leave, guys. Than right now, he can say whatever he wants to say about me. I am alive. He is alive. We are both well and alive.
Why did he rip the teddy bear? Like, what was happening? Was it an argument?
So it was... we had come to that point the day before I left where I was like, look, you continuously are getting angry, the shouting, I can't take this. I can't live like this anymore. You know, I've had to physically restrain you from police. There are so many things that have happened. You know, we're driving, you have road rage, you get out of the car, you take a rock and you throw it.
With you in the car.
With me in the car.
Whoa.
I can't leave. I can't go home to Zim. When I'm coming back from Zim, you're being carried out of you by bouncers. You know, that's not the image of a husband that I want.
Hey, it's been like crazy 2 years.
It's like, yeah, because I want to say, look, it's Perita's husband.
And it's Perita's husband, but also, you're my husband. I'm supposed to love you and respect you. In fact, I'm supposed to respect you. You are supposed to love me. Now, I've lost all respect for you because of the things that you are doing. And now, any conversation, I'm generally someone who doesn't like to shout and scream. I didn't grow up in that kind of a household. So for him, it seems like it's normal. For him, he's like, it's just a rough patch. We'll get through it. For me, it's like, no, you know.
Sure, that's wild, man. How come you guys never had kids?
I wanted kids, actually. I wanted kids. Thank God.
Oof, That must hurt.
No, because no, because you know what? I always say to myself, and I think to myself, maybe one day, 10 years from now, I'll be able to sit down with my ex-husband and he will have grown and he will have learned and he will have gone through the journey he needs to go through to learn, right? And understand how to do things the right way. Right now, he does not know how to do things the right way. Mm. Even with me, like even my family, it got to a point where my family was like, inkomo ziyabuya, satan inkomo zenu, because you don't know, you are disrespecting us as a family.
So would you take him back though?
No.
At
unfortunately,
all.
No.
When you're saying your family said his family is was it his family that was disrespectful towards your family or just him?
No, his family are lovely people.
Oh,
his family are lovely people. It's him. He is the one that unfortunately, even I don't want to leave my marriage. I can't tell. Unfortunately, the thing is, again, people are going to interpret what I say, how I say it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I did not want to leave my marriage. I left my marriage because I was living with someone who was impossible to live with. Someone whose anger was escalating, was not willing to work on that. Someone who was putting, like, basically abusing me by blackmailing and being in a way that, you know, there's abuse where you can see it.
Yeah.
There's some that you're like, but here you're being conniving and malicious. And now when I leave, it gets worse.
Yeah, it got worse.
It becomes worse. And that's where unfortunately a lot of women also reach out to me and say, I had to go into hiding at some point. When I went home, there was a time where I had to literally go into hiding because I don't know what he's going to do. Some shows, it's like last year, it's like someone's like, I want to come to your show. But what if with all this turmoil that's happening, what if it happens at your show? Which is, it hasn't happened. But there's so many men that when women leave, they make women's lives hell.
Hell.
They stalk them. And unfortunately, and there are countries where when you do that, you get arrested.
Mm.
Because those are signs of behavior that, you know, those are signs of dangerous behavior. And unfortunately, we live in a country where that can continue to happen and it's not...
What do you think about him going to prison? He's going to prison, eh? He's going to jail or something, is he not?
I saw something like that. Jeez, what's fake chugger when you need her?
Yeah.
I saw something like that. I didn't read it fully.
To be honest, I don't know because I haven't spoken to him in a while. But like I say, more than anything, I wish him peace and I hope he can work on himself.
Was there ever something that you saw on social media that he said, which you were like, yeah, this is a bit too far. Like, yo, who's this guy? I don't recognize this person.
Yeah. Yeah. It happened. For me, the first time I didn't recognize my husband was the day I had to hold him from, physically restrain him from police. That day I got home and the challenge was that when I said to him, did you see what happened? He said to me, did you see what those police were doing to me? And that became a challenge for me. And then at some point, he was trying to shift my narrative of what I saw to say, you see, you are absent-minded. You are this, you are that, you are that, you are that. And that's when I was like, I don't recognize this person. And the next day, and the painful thing about it as well is that the next day, he's the sweetest guy ever. He was, baby, let's go for ice cream.
Crazy.
They will be, you know, it's sweet. Yeah. It's like it's a different person. For me, I can't see that person anymore. Even by the time he's going online, saying things, most of them lies. And at some point, I confronted him and I was like, why are you lying? And he was like, I'm just being a little entertaining. I was like,
Why didn't you ever take his phone?
How do you take someone's phone away from them?
Mm.
And I think, I don't know, guys. Yo.
What are some of the lies you'd call him out on? That I'm in your organ now. You're just lying.
There's so many.
Hey, where do you start?
No, you know, the challenge with what you're asking me is now it's going to be a he said, she said.
Even after this
interview, like, it's going to be a, no, but she's saying this or he's saying this. Mm. No, you know, for me, I think the intention is to really move forward.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I won't talk about this again after this.
But also, it's important for you to talk your truth.
the whole truth.
You know what I mean? Because we don't know which side that you're talking about. You understand? Because we only see one narrative. So I think in as much as you're saying that, it's also important for you to tell your story in your own words. You know what I mean?
For example, like with the car, you said you'd crashed the car, a V-Class or whatever, and then he said bring back a bag, you know?
So much was said that like I... to get into it and start to correct out literally. You know what I'm, what you're asking me, I'm doing for my lawyers. And that on its own is very traumatic when you have to go and be like,
he did
on this
did.
Incident,
and retell and relive on trauma.
This happened. So I...
That's crazy, man. Hey. She has worked with the likes of Black Coffee and Oskido. Who has been the best person to collaborate so far in your career?
So... I haven't collaborated with Black Coffee actually as of yet. No.
Oh, okay.
No, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But I have worked with Oskido.
Yeah.
And Oskido actually remixed Tandoluitu when it first came out.
Yeah.
And he contributed to Tandoluitu becoming bigger.
Okay.
And for that I'll forever be grateful.
Mm.
I actually, yeah, I did a lot of shows with him. I've worked, I think what I'm excited about is the people I've currently been working with.
Oh yes.
Yeah, like even just working with Abidoza on Peace of Mind, we've done it, and Ali Keys, we've probably done like 3-4 songs.
Wow.
So it's been really good. I went into studio with Daki. Also that.
Oh, Doc.
What is that?
Doc.
Doc.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Afrotech. Yes.
Also, because like I just wanted to expose myself to different sounds. I went into studio with him. That also, we came out with a beautiful song. I also spent a lot of time in studio with Amos.
Amos Chili. Yeah. He's amazing.
That's been fun. We've done a lot of songs together.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been in studio with the musical Chef and Dem Tuda.
Hey, you're dropping bombs.
Big bombs. Yeah.
Hey, dog. Jeez.
That's also been really, really fun.
Is this for your album or like just releasing, Jeff?
On their project.
Oh, their projects.
So, I think it's their songs. You know, at this point, I'm sitting on about 30 songs. Some songs are for them, some songs are for me.
Mm.
I'm just continuously in the studio. I'm right now, it's the goal is to be in the studio. I've also worked with some German producers for the stuff that I'm doing in Europe.
Wow.
I've also worked with some, you know, up and coming DJ Maggie, who's up and coming, more soul, up and coming soul artist, Mala, up and coming from the Eastern Cape. Yeah, I'm gay, up and coming as well from the Eastern Cape. So it's been a bit of both.
When you see, I don't know if you watched the interview we did with Msaki,
yeah,
where she's saying she's taking a break from music because of social media and all that stuff. How do you feel? Because you strike me like you guys are in the same WhatsApp group.
Yeah. We are friends.
Mm.
So, first of all, I think, you know, she's done a lot in the past 2 years. Like, she has really given off herself. So I think her taking a break, even now, I think she's off social media. I completely support that. I think sometimes social media just messes with your mental state.
Mm.
I think as artists, we're already going through a lot. Just trying, just to be an artist. Do you know how showing up as yourself is very difficult?
Mm.
Just to be an artist. And also, you must understand, once you make the artist, it's for the people. You may like it, you may not like it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm. And then you have situations where drama that you never intentionally wanted to get out. So I'm really, I think right now, I honestly feel like the past 3 years I slept. I feel like I was busy doing this marriage thing that didn't work. Right now, I want to get back to my first love, which is music.
Wow.
That's what I want to do. I just want to, every day, I just want to push myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with social media? Do you read the comments or you just one of those post work or post whatever content and leave?
So I've gone through different phases.
Okay.
There was a time where I was off social media completely. And then there was a time where I post and leave. Now, because I'm promoting my music, I'm there.
Hmm.
I do therapy every Friday.
You do therapy every Friday?
You need it if you're going to be in those comments.
I do therapy every Friday. I play tennis. I do a lot of things to feed into myself so that when I come into spaces, when someone is saying something that's not true about me, I'm also like a child of God and I pray. So if I see something that's untrue, I'm able to pick up that this is untrue. If it starts to affect me, then I've got a team. Then I can be like, okay, let me hand over. But I think I'm just in a season where I want to be in touch with my fans, you know, so I try and post myself as much as I can.
Hey, but some of those comments can sting, my man.
Brutal. Hey, loving or not, God fearing or not.
Yeah or not. Hey, 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 hey.
Someone say something about someone has the ability to ruin your entire day.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm at a point where you need to do a lot. Like a lot has been done to me right at this point where you would need to really do a lot to ruin my day.
Tell me about therapy, man. Like, when did that start?
So I started therapy when I was leaving my marriage.
Oh, so it's a recent thing.
It's a year and 3 months now.
Every Friday?
Every Friday.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. And I've learned a lot about myself as well.
Yeah.
For me, I think, if anything, I want to thank me. Shout out to me.
Yeah.
Shout out to me, because I just decided, you know what, at the end of the day, I can look at someone else, I can look at my ex-husband all I want, he's done this and this and this, but at the end of the day, what did I contribute to it? I allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
I allowed myself to stay in that situation for so long. Why did I allow that to happen? And therapy, you look into those things. You look into, you know, whatever is causing you uncomfortability. You come out of your shell. So, yeah.
All right, cool. So, the song you're performing for us, what is it called? Peace of Mind.
Peace of Mind.
Okay. Okay.
Peace of Mind is the song. Yeah. But I want to do like a little medley.
Ah,
you
nice.
Know, just remind you guys of who I really am.
Fuck.
So, this Peace of Mind you're going to perform in one of the other songs, it's the Abidoza one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You got a question? You want to ask her?
You had said earlier on that you were in the relationship, you felt like you hadn't fully come into yourself, and that was another problem. How far are you with that? Do you feel like you're fully now come into yourself? Or
she should be,
time?
Man. She's at therapy every Friday. Otherwise, she'll find a therapist.
Yeah, I am. I think the thing as well is that I noticed for myself is the need for validation.
Mm.
I think that, you know, I, at some point, put that need for validation to one person, and I gave that person so
much
power. I gave them too much power.
Mm.
And now, I'm able to do that for myself. And I think that's where the conversation of self-care and self-love comes in. And also just their childhood wounds that I didn't know I had, you know. So I'm working on those.
Beautiful.
Man, it's nice.
You wanted kids. You still do?
Of course.
Meh.
I still think I'm going to get married again, guys.
We want to get married again.
Yeah. I want to, this time around, hopefully I can do it better.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man, it's nice being a woman. Are you hearing it? Yeah, I'm working on myself, self-care. What a. That's a man, there's no time, my man. Got to make money, my man. Got to make money. And
shoot yourself one day, right? With all that money.
No.
Nah, guys.
And, you know, the thing also about men is that you guys need to take care of yourselves.
Yeah.
You guys,
but there's no time, baby.
Yeah, well, under all this
pressure.
I don't
have time to be seeing a therapist every Friday, bro.
But you see, you've got a life coach.
Yeah, when I'm going through the most. not every Friday. I mean, I was telling you now, I took a drip on Friday.
Yeah.
Because I had such a hectic weekend.
Yeah.
It's Monday now. I feel like it's worn out already.
But also, I think therapy is different things for different people. You've got to find
solutions.
You've got to find what makes, you've got to find who's the person that you can go to, who's your mentor, who's, you know, who do you look up to? Who, like, you've got to find a voice of reason.
I go to therapy to find solutions. To be like, hey, I'm feeling this way. What's going on? And then they're like, oh, boom, boom. Then I'm back on my saddle.
Yeah.
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 And you?
I went to therapy. She said I'm fine. And it was your therapist, by the way.
No, had that's the
session,
problem.
Had one session. She said, oh, you're fine, man. I'm like, for real? I'm just like, yeah, man. You're strong. I'm like, yeah. Boy, since then, I haven't looked back. I'm on my saddle. Hey, man.
You were telling me about acupuncture. You said I must stop doing the drip.
Yeah, so I'm very big on health and wellness.
Yes.
And I think on a daily basis, meditation, guys. You know, if you can't take a holiday, meditate.
Meditation works.
Meditation works.
But if you're a
beginner. Do you know, now I literally make everyone around me meditate. I make my band meditate. Why didn't I make you guys meditate?
Yeah.
Let's meditate. Hey.
So, but, you know, like meditation, you just take a moment and you allow all the thoughts that are coming up to your mind to come out. You just allow yourself to feel everything. And after that, you just feel so much better. So I meditate. I do yoga, which sometimes I make my band do yoga.
Wow.
You know, all those things. Actually, I really should have made you guys do these things.
Hey.
You know,
it's no time.
Yoga.
Time. But there's things you can do. So instead of getting a drip, acupuncture, and I do acupressure.
Okay.
So acupressure is where you get your pressure points. You know, you you sit on the road a lot, you sit in this chair a lot, go to a chiropractor once in a while. You'll be amazed just aligning your spine.
Okay.
What that will do for you energetically.
Yeah.
So things like that. You know,
because for me, it's more fatigue,
acupressure. I'll hook you up. Also.
Oh, you just gym, man. Acupuncture, this chiropractor. He wants to drink and not gym and rock the whole weekend. Just gym. Remember how much I used to sweat when I played? I no longer sweat at all.
Yeah,
you know, gym.
Yeah,
and let's drink water. You'll be fine, man. You don't need to. All these drips. I tried that. I'm like,
The drip thing, I think, is a scam.
You think so?
Slightly. We need to be honest about drips, man.
For real.
Yeah. Remember, Joop gave us his. We didn't feel anything. We're like, come on.
No, and also you don't know what you're injecting into your body. You know, so the whole point of things like acupressure is that your body is a self-healing. You know, organism. So if you give it that circulation of the blood, then you're allowing your body to do its work.
Sure. Anyway, thank you so much, Burrito, man. Thank you so much for coming through.
Guys.
Do people ask you about Nota when they see you?
The other day, Uber driver asked me. I was like, I got a booty and Kailawe.
Yo!
Uber driver.
Yeah, but I think I get more of music questions.
Oh, nice.
So, beautiful. You know,
that's your brand. That's your brand.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. So I appreciate, guys. It's 11 years in the music business. And I'm still going. And I'm still going to be here. I'm not going anywhere.
That's crazy. That's 11 years, you still don't have a visa. You got to renew every 90 days.
I'm going to Europe now, guys.
Zongbona second half.
Nizongbona nje kancane. So kancane so uyavela.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Burrito. She's about to perform for us. Do take it away.
Oh, Burrito.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Burrito.
Dandi nomfana omuhle igama lakhe thando lwethu bendimthanda endithanda sasingohlula Nazindudumo, why you pulling shit? Oh, yeah, ding, I'm clinging. Why you pulling shit? Oh, yeah, ding, I'm lindelang. We're tandle. Zanina Tando Lwetu Dawe Zanina Tando Lwetu Baby.
Endicungu andiso shala nawe uba ba bonge ve dingasi. Endicungu ngwa kantungu tusa nge. Why you pulling chips in your ya? Ding a tungela. Why you pulling chips in your ya? Ding a glindela. We tandole. We tandole.
Yeah, and this one is for the chillers. Especially for you, chillers.
Baby, ngicela kiss. Is that who's it? Ngicela kiss. Is that no, no? Is that no, no? Ukuthanda umuntu wakho. Is that no, no? Baby, niyabuza. Hayi, xa kunjalo kusho ukuthi sawufela etrongweni. Yiza masithandane sibuqine kumothuli. Baby, ngicela kiss. Yiza ndibuze. Ngicela kiss. Yiza nono. It was a me, baby, incredible kiss. Is that who's it? Oh, yeah. Like Yalana, who turned the moon to a Nyabuza, I am Kagujan. Shoot yourself, fella, throw in. Is a mastandane, spookane, mutuli. Yes, son, dear today, dear look. Is that who's it? Daily kiss. Is that no, no? The funala. It does a whammy. Paving daily kiss. Is that who's it?
So this next song is my new single. It's called Peace of Mind. I hope it gives you peace of mind just listening to it.
All of this time, I thought you were the one. All of this time, I thought you were the one. Built a sandcastle and made you the king of the hill. Built a sandcastle and made you the king of the hill. Makes you sleep at night. I often wonder what I did, what I did to deserve this. What makes you sleep at night? What makes you sleep?
I'm not afraid.
Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlesha lefigi. Ungo yig, even if when they ask you, how sabine, do not fear. For if you do, just say, anisti.